Thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again. I thank you for your prayers in my behalf. I've had a lot of messages, text messages, things sent my way letting me know that you've been praying. And I'm very thankful for that. I want you to know that. I appreciate it very much. I know that it's a tool that God gives us to approach His throne, have communication with Him, and petition Him for needs. And I'm glad that we serve a God who is willing to hear and answer. This evening, I have a burden I've had for a while for this meeting. I feel like it's important to deal with some fundamental things before we get into the real burden and the text I have. So I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation and read one scripture, chapter 13. In verse 8, the latter part of this verse makes reference of a book of life, of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. What I want you to know first this evening is that God has made provision for your every need. He has made provision for your physical needs. He has made provision for your spiritual needs. And as we heard this morning, if we put Him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these peripheral things will be added to you. He has also promised that He would take care of our temporal needs. That does not mean that I can preach to you and teach to you a prosperity Christianity. But I do believe, as we heard this morning, that there are principles in the Scripture that if we will follow them, will cause us to be industrious people. And I tell you, folks, the world in which we live today is hungry for industrious people willing to work that have ethics and principles and values. The Lord has given to you, to every one of us, a soul. That soul is something that I can't really define to you. The soul of man is that portion of man that's going to live eternally. It's not a material thing. You can't feel it. You can't see it. But it's real. God only gave a soul to human beings. That separates us from all brute beasts in this world. When God made Adam, the Scripture tells us He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man, Adam, became a living soul. Now, the soul is that part that is going to live eternally. This body, when I come to the end of my journey, and yours too, unless the Lord comes back first, this body is going to decay in the ground. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That's Scripture. But if I have maintained a relationship with God, if I have established it first and maintained it, I have the hope of being resurrected with a glorified body. And I don't know what that body will be. I just know the Scripture says it will be a glorified body. And I know that there will be a soul that will be eternal. Now, when God gave to Adam this soul, and He created Eve, one of the ribs from Adam, She also had a soul. When God created you, when He created humanity, He gave us the ability to make choice. Choose one way or the other. So in order for us to have the ability to make choice, we can say, I want to do good, or I want to do bad. I want to choose right, I want to choose wrong. God will honor that choice. But He also knew that since it was His responsibility, by giving you the ability to make choice one way or the other with your will and the Spirit that He breathed to you, He gave you that ability to choose. He also knew that it would only be right for Him to make a remedy for the case of you making a bad choice. So before ever this world was created, God didn't have to come up with a plan B after Adam and Eve transgressed. He already had a plan. Before He ever spoke them into existence, before He ever created this world, before the foundation of the world, God had a fix for humanity. Because He knew that it was possible for them to make an errant choice, and it didn't take long. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. Folks, if it hadn't been Adam, it would have been me. Because I've made errant choices. And I needed a Redeemer. You did too. You need a Redeemer. I want to say this to you. Whoever you are this evening, wherever you may be, in your walk of life, you will not make it inside of God's heaven without pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and the stripes that He bore on His back and the wounds that He bore in His body. You'll never make it inside of God's heaven without acknowledging God's plan for your eternal well-being, Jesus Christ. You have to come to Him. You have to humble yourself before God. You have to acknowledge that His Son Jesus is the means of your salvation. You will not get it by osmosis. You will not get it by being in the group. You will not get it by being around a family altar. You will not get it by coming to meetings and sitting and listening. You will only get it by coming to the point of realization that I am lost and undone, and I must yield myself to a power greater than me, that power being God and Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the only way that you are going to be able to secure salvation. You'll get it no other way. You must acknowledge before God some kind of a way in your prayers to Him, in your communication with Him, that He has made provision for you. And Father, I want it. I need it. I am lost and undone. All right? So you have this soul. You have a physical body. You have a spirit and a will. The soul that you have yearns to be in communion with God. It yearns to be in contact with God. It yearns to have an experience with God. But I want to tell you something about this soul. This soul does not have the ability to make its own choice of will where it will spend eternity. I saw a few eyebrows raised. The soul does not have the ability to make choice where it will spend eternity. That is up to you. God gave you one soul. He gave you one soul. It is up to you how you handle what God has given to you. That's up to you. You can choose one way or the other. You can choose to accept or reject, and God will honor that. May I encourage you, strongly encourage you, accept God's offering of salvation. You have a will. You have the ability to go one way or the other. Where you go is where your soul will go. What choices, the choices you make in life, today, tomorrow, next week, before you leave this world, those choices are going to impact where your soul, the only soul you have, spends eternity. That soul yearns to have communion with God. There's something about the soul. Pardon me. There is something about the soul of man that needs a God to worship. You need something to worship. That's what God gave you. And it's up to you which one you will worship. But the soul is designed to worship. My God, let it be you that we worship. That we choose to worship. To yearn. To long. Feel an earnest desire. To have a desire or inclination stretching towards the object or end. Not just casually reaching. Stretching. As far as I can stretch. Yearning. Your soul yearns, stretches to have that relationship with God because it knows that there is an eternal destiny. It knows that. And it wants that eternal destiny to be with the one who gave it. So, I want to give a definition for sin. Sin. The voluntary departure. Voluntary is a key phrase here, key word. The voluntary departure of a moral agent, you and me, moral agents, free moral agents, from a known rule of rectitude or rightness of principle or practice or duty prescribed by God. Any voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command. The scripture says it this way, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. A voluntary departure from a known rule of rightness of principle or practice. If you know and you understand what is right and you choose to make a choice to go a different way, that's dangerous ground. The scripture tells me that's sin. I have to be careful about that. So now I want to get into my burden and my text this evening. In the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Open to me the gates of righteousness and I will go into them and I'll praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Can I tell you who the psalmist is speaking of here? He is speaking of the Messiah. He is speaking of Jesus. This gate of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness. The psalmist had a hungering for the things of God. He had a desire to do right things. He made many errors along the way, many blunders along the way. But he had a desire to do right things. And God was merciful to him. and helped him, and he gave forgiveness to him when he would plead for forgiveness and mercy. Folks, the gates of righteousness, open to me the gates of righteousness. That it should be the desire of every person in this building this evening to say, open to me the gates of righteousness. I'll tell you this much, your soul is crying out for that. Your soul inside of you is crying out, please open to me the gates of righteousness. Please will you open to me and give me the opportunity to have the gates of righteousness so that I can be free, so that I can have communion with the Father, with the one that made me, with the one that communicates with me. I know that the Lord has the ability to communicate with us through our spirit, through our will, through our mind, through our intellect. And I don't know how to separate all of those things from one from the other. But I do know this, that the soul, for lack of a better term, is hijacked in this body. Yearning for me to make good choices. All right? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. I want us to realize this, folks. Today we live in a beautiful dispensation. There was a time when God on this earth spoke with man face to face. He spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Joshua. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to these individuals in audible tones. He spoke to Abraham when he was about to slay his son Isaac. He said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And he stopped. Don't do it. I see that within you, you would withhold nothing from me, even your only son. But don't do it. It's not required of you. I wanted to see if you were willing. But I have over here a ram caught in a thicket. Sacrifice that to me. Then we come to the time of the judges and the law. We come to time when God gave commandments in the law and He told man, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Where He laid down specific commands, what you should and should not do. What He expected from His people, what from His children. He gave the prophets that began to open the doors of the mysteries of God into things deeper than just the law, than just the commandments. But opening up the doors of a day when there would be something more precious than just the rules and the regulations, if you will. He began with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Hosea, all of these that began to understand some things from God about what was to come. And then He sent Jesus. A baby in a manger to be the Savior of the world. Who would ever think that that's how God would introduce salvation to humanity? To send a little baby in a manger, in a stall, in a barn. But the angels sang songs about that. And they went to the shepherds. And they told them all the things. The angels sang to them. And the shepherds heard those songs. And they said, what is this that we've been hearing? Let's go and see what this is. Let's follow the star and see what it is. The Lord had opened up, began the process of opening up to humanity through Jesus, the plan of salvation. Jesus grew. Scripture says He increased in knowledge and favor with God and man. He had influence. He was accepted. He began to work with them, teach them. He began to give instructions. He began to challenge things that they were doing that weren't right. He began to heal people. He began to do miracles in their eyes, in their sight. He could do things. He could feed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. He had that ability. He called on his Father. He said, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And the Father's will was that you would be saved. And I came so that that process could start right here and right now. And while He was here, He began the process of teaching and expounding. I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And He expounded things of the law, and He made them so much greater, so much easier to understand, and had put so much more meaning to them, more than just thou shalt and thou shalt not. But He put meaning to them, and He told us what those things were supposed to be. And then He told His disciples, it's needful that I go away. It's needful that I go away, but I'm going to send something after this. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He said, He will teach you all things. He will bring things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. He will guide you into truth. Folks, I am so thankful for Jesus. I am thankful for what He did. I am thankful that He was willing to give His life on that cross. I am thankful that He came forth from that tomb. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This promise have I received from my Father. And He was willing to go to that dark, cold tomb for you and me. You know why? For your soul. For the soul that He understood very clearly, the cry of the soul of man. He heard that from the throne of heaven, folks. He could hear the cry of the soul of man. The imagination of man's heart, only evil continually. God said, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy, but I'm going to save a few. But the cry of the soul went up into Jesus' ears, and He was willing to do His part so that you and I could be saved. And then He was resurrected from that tomb. They went that day to find Him. They went that day to anoint His body. And when Mary got there, He's not here. And the angel said to her, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. For He has risen as He said, come, see the place where He lay. And she was distressed and disturbed about all that had happened. And she turned around and talked to someone, said, if you know where they've taken Him, would you please tell me, because I'll go get His body. He said, Mary, oh my Lord. She recognized who it was. Thank God, not only did He die on the cross, or I would say it differently. The Scripture says that He yielded up the ghost. If you really look into what those words say, it doesn't mean that they killed Him. He dismissed His spirit. He had power. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This promise have I been given to my Father. So when He yielded up the ghost, He dismissed His spirit. They didn't kill Him. Yes, He was crucified. Yes, His physical body was dead. But it's because He dismissed the life. He dismissed it. That's important, folks. It's important for us to know. He yielded up the ghost. But He came out of that tomb. And when He came out of that tomb, He spent some time with the disciples, talking to them. He had already told them, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to teach you, guide you, lead you, succor you, comfort you. I'm going to do everything that can possibly be done, but not in my physical presence. He was limited with a physical body. He couldn't be everywhere at one time in a physical body. But on the day of Pentecost, He had instructed His disciples where to gather, where to assemble. They were in one accord, in one place. And the Spirit of God came down upon them. Today, folks, you and I live in the Holy Spirit dispensation of the God's plan for humanity. Yes, we have the gospel message, and it's a beautiful message, and it's still relevant, and it needs to be taught and preached. All of this Word of God is relevant to us. But the Holy Spirit is the means of God's ability to communicate with you about your needs of your soul. God's Holy Spirit. That's how you hear those things. That's how you know where you are. That's how you know what you need to do. That's how you know when you're coming up to a place of decision, choice, of right or wrong. And you stand there. And you're in that valley of decision. And you hear a small voice saying, "Don't do that. Come this way." The voice of God through His Holy Spirit speaking and communicating in your spirit to your soul saying, "I want peace for what I have given to you. I want it to have peace." I remember one time I was, I had something very important before the Lord. Some things I was holding before the Lord that I felt was too weighty to be reckless with. So I asked the Lord for something to give me an answer, to give me something, to give me some understanding of the direction He wanted me to take. I asked Him for it, and He gave it. And I asked Him, this is some time lapsed, I asked Him again for something to give proof of what He wanted me to do, and He gave it. And I was still, in my own mind and spirit, anxious about moving and making this decision. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to ask You again. If this is what You want me to do, will you show me some way?" And He said to me, folks, just as clearly as I can speak to you today, it wasn't audible tones, it was by His Spirit, but I knew exactly, I can still tell you today what He said to me. "You asked for this, and I did it. And you asked for this, and I did it. What more do I have to do? Do I have to break You?" I said, "Lord, please, no, Lord, don't break me. I will do it. You tell me when." Amen. You tell me when. I'm saying this to you because I want you to understand that God's Holy Spirit can speak to you in ways that you can understand clearly. Clearly. I'm going down the road in a noisy, banging, rattling truck. When I say loud, I mean loud. You ever heard the expression so loud you can't hear yourself think? Loud. You couldn't have heard somebody talking to you. There'd been times I'd have somebody sitting in the jump seat trying to speak to me, talk to me over the noise of all the things, and you'd have to yell to be heard, and still couldn't hear everything that was being said. And I'm going down the rough, beat-up road with all of that noise, and the Lord says, "It's time." I'm here to tell you this evening, folks, God's Holy Spirit can be trusted. to do its work. Because the work of God's Holy Spirit is to fulfill the entire plan of God from the beginning through Jesus of salvation to give you the understanding that you are in a place where you are lost and undone, if that's where you are, and to let you know what you need to do about it. Amen. Have you ever felt conviction? I pray you have. I pray you know what conviction is. May I strongly encourage you this evening that any time that you feel the conviction of God's Holy Spirit, don't disregard it. May I encourage you strongly that when you feel the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, move. Respond. Wherever that may be, if it's in a public meeting, an altar prayer, altar call is given, come down to an altar and pray. Ask God to be merciful to you and help you, whatever need you may have. I've lived long enough to know this, that you're going to have successes and you're going to have failures in your walk with the Lord. I've looked at Peter. I've looked at some of the things that these men have done. I've looked at my own life. And I know that there's been places I've had to go to God and say, Lord, will you be merciful to me? Right now I feel weak. I feel vulnerable. I feel undone. And I need something more from you this day, Lord. Will you help me? Lord, I've got a cross with my brother right now. And I need to get that thing fixed. And I need to know what to do, Lord. Will you help me with that? Folks, you're going to have those kinds of things along the way. Let God's Holy Spirit work with you. Let Him teach you. Let Him instruct you. Jesus said in John 10, I just want to remind us. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door. The means of your salvation hinges upon Jesus and your willingness to humble yourself to the dealings of God's Holy Spirit with the eternity-bound soul. I want to share a little story with you. I was speaking with someone who does hospice work. I don't know where I may have shared this. I know I've shared it before. But there was an elderly gentleman who was dying with terminal disease. He was a World War II veteran. But he couldn't find peace. He couldn't find peace toward the end of his life. The one who was working with him felt that he had made acknowledgement of his sin and asked for God's forgiveness. But still there was something troubling him inside. And he was restless. He was ready to die. But he couldn't die because of this thing that was troubling him. Folks, I want to tell you, there are things that happen in life that are very real. And they impact you. And they sometimes will follow you to the very last hour. But she found out that he was a World War II veteran and landed on the beach at Normandy on D-Day. And when that front of that Higgins boat went down and they started catching that machine gun fire off of those mountains, off of those hills, and he saw the blood in the water and the bodies floating in the water, and he bailed off into the water too, just like the rest of them. But he was a little guy. And the water was over his head. And he couldn't do a thing. He was going to drown. He jettisoned everything he had. His weapon, his pack, his ammo belt, everything. He made it to shore. But when he got to shore, he had no weapon, no pack, no ammo belt. So you know what he did? He got a weapon, and a pack, an ammo belt from his fallen comrades laying there on the beach. That troubled him all of his life. They died. I lived. I'm here today. I took their gear. While they're laying there dead, I took their gear. And I'm alive today. Even though it's time for me to step off the stage of action, this is tormenting my mind. And she said to me, the only thing that I knew to do was pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to talk to this man, because he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't open up about it. He wouldn't reveal anything. So the only thing I knew to do is say, "Dear God, by your Holy Spirit, will you speak to this man and use the work of your Holy Spirit to cause him to be able to come to the place where he can have peace and be able to step off of this world?" She went to visit him one day, and he opened up, and he told her what happened. And it was just a couple of days after that that he left this world. Folks, I want to tell you this evening, God's Holy Spirit can be trusted. God's Holy Spirit is the agent that God uses to communicate with you about the needs of your never-dying soul. Jesus gave His lifeblood so we could be saved. And God sent that Spirit afterward to communicate with your soul so you would know the needs that you have so you can do something about it. Oh, open to me the gates of righteousness. This gate of righteousness where we can enter and praise the Lord. This is a stone which the builders rejected. Have you never heard this saying? Jesus said, have you never heard this saying? This is a stone that the builders rejected. It's marvelous in our eyes. He was speaking about himself then. And way back here in this psalmist passage, he was speaking of him then. This is a stone that opened to me the gates of righteousness. That's the cry of your soul this evening. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I pray to God. It's not just the cry of your soul, but I pray it's the cry of your will and your mind and your spirit to want to be in communion and in union with God. Your soul certainly yearns for it, stretches for it, longs for it. I pray by the grace of God that you will be willing to give that part to Him, to yield to Him. In John 6:48, Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And he did. The bread I will give is my flesh, and I give it for the life of the world. For whosoever will. That means you. That means you have an opportunity this evening. The Lord's knocking on your heart's door to come to Him. Bow yourself before Him. I want to close in the book of Revelation 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. You see, this is just a temporary dwelling place, for sure. But God wants to inhabit it. He wants to be inside of you. No longer is there an earthly tabernacle that belongs to God, a physical building that we go into. Yes, this is a nice structure, and it's wonderful to be able to come together, but this isn't God. This isn't God. When we come together, we feel the Spirit of God is anointing inside these structures, and that's a wonderful thing. But what He wants is to have this tabernacle, and He wants to dwell in this tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is with men. That's where He wants to be, folks. He wants to be right next, nestled up to your soul. Your soul wants to be nestled up to God, because your soul knows that is my hope, to have life eternal. Because the only other option is ever dying, never dead. Ever dying, never dead. The soul yearning to have that communion with God. But there is no God in hell. There's no love in hell. The Scripture says God is love. But there's no love in hell. And the soul wants to escape that at any cost. The Scripture says, the song says, O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God. Every one of us is going to do just that. We're going to reckon with God. It is my desire this evening that if you hear that small voice speaking to you, knocking on your heart's door, if you feel the power of the Holy Spirit conviction speaking to you, that you would be willing to move, respond. Don't ignore it. It's not to play with. Because it is so very important. Jesus said, this is how important it is. I'm not going to go into this, but Jesus said, all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven to men. Bad things said about God, against God, bad things said about Jesus, the Son of Man. All manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven to men. But he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Why? Because that's the only agent God has to commune with your soul. So listen. If the Spirit speaks to your soul this evening or throughout this meeting, listen and respond. Thank you for your time and attention. God bless each one is my prayer. Thank you for being here.